The gurus of how-to, Alvin and Lawrence Ubell, also known as Accurate Building Inspectors of Brooklyn, New York, join me now, as they do every month. And it's always a pleasure to see you guys.
Thank you so much.
I've learned so much.
Ditto.
Over the years, I have learned so much.
Name us one thing.
And I wash out the filter of the air conditioner before I turn it on every summer. No, there's a lot of stuff. Some of it I know, and I've never been able to apply it. But if it ever happens, if I have creaky floorboards and things like that, I know what to do.
That's your conversation during a party session?
I say, if you ever have creaky floorboards, ask me. I know all about it because I'm very friendly with the gurus of how to.
Well, that's like for me. I mean, we learned in Boy Scouts how to use a tourniquet. I haven't used one yet on anybody.
And thank goodness.
I'm trying to get through my whole life without having to use one on somebody.
You never know when you're going to need it.
You never know. You never know when you have to polyurethane a floor.
That's true.
Okay.
Now, we take listener calls when you come by, and our number here is 212-433-9692. We also have a word of the day when you visit. And Alvin, this is based on a personal experience?
Yes. What happened was I was trying to think of a word that would be appropriate for today. And yesterday, I'm driving on the BQE next to Industry City, Bush Terminal. Mm-hmm. For those people who don't know what BQE is, there's the Brooklyn-Queens Expressway, if they're living outside of New York. Anyway.
Second biggest parking lot in the world.
And I'm seeing on the tops of all those buildings, they have these large wooden water tanks that are really very big. And it came to me in a flash, just like that. I said, there's the word. And the word is, or if they can guess that word, figure out what that word is, what is the name of the craft that builds these wonderful wooden tanks? That's the word. Okay. What is the name of the craft that builds the wooden tanks?
Okay. That's it.
And if you get the answer, well, thanks a lot.
Thanks.
Okay, I never
And if you do get it right, you will get Save Money, Save Energy by Al Ubell and George Merlis.
And that will save you a lot of money in itself. That book is really, especially now, it's becoming more and more obvious that we all have to contribute to saving energy. And the book, although it was written many years ago, is still appropriate to this day.
You were green before green was in.
We were green long time ago. When I was very little, I was very green.
I've only
mostly,
been green
mostly from
with
standing
envy.
In one, mostly from standing in one position, having the moss grow on your north side.
Yes. How else would I know where the north was?
This is WNYC and WNYC.org. I'm Leonard Lopate. Do you want to talk about something before we take calls? Because a lot of calls are already coming in.
Yes. We're kind of winding down to the end of our air conditioning season. Not quite yet. Probably before we're going to be on next month. So it's time to start thinking about taking the air conditioning units out of the windows.
Well, a lot of them just sit in those sleeves all year long.
The sleeves are different. But with the sleeves, let's talk about the window ones first. Take them out of the window if you're not using them. Because the windows were not designed to have the air conditioners in them in the first place, and water will leak in through the sills. You have a major heat loss because of that air conditioner. And I do recommend, if you have the room in the particular room, let's say bedroom, closet, just move the air conditioner to the closet. There's no reason to bring your air conditioner, if you live in a four-story brownstone, five flights down to the cellar to bring it just up again. If you make some room in a closet, put some shelves on top of it and leave it there. Just remember, when taking it out, there still may be condensate water in it, so don't drip that all over the room. For the sleeve units, all I recommend doing is taking the cover off, getting some thick plastic sheathing or a plastic bag, putting it over it, and then put the cover back on and trim it around so it's nice and neat.
Then you won't have a draft.
Won't have as much of a draft. You're still going to have some heat loss, but not as much. But don't cover up the back, because the back needs to air out, and it's designed to be out in the elements. So don't cover up the back. That just causes condensation inside and moisture and causes corrosion and oxidation. So very simple, but you should take care of it. And by the way, when you have central units, all I recommend you do with that is put a piece of plywood on top of the compressor, put a couple of bricks to hold it down, but don't wrap it in plastic.
Now, I doubt that we're going to start seeing heat coming up in radiators before the next time
we'll
you
save
visit.
No, we'll save that for next month.
Yeah, we'll save that next month.
We'll talk about what people should do before they start receiving that heat.
But if you have to have your system serviced, now is the time to do it. Your heating guys are not that busy yet. The HVAC guys are kind of winding down too. So it's a good time to get your equipment serviced for the winter.
Let's take some calls. Our number 212-433-9692. Susan from Brooklyn called in first. Hi, Susan.
Oh, hi. I have a horrible problem, guys.
Tell me.
I have a three-family house, and for the past 3 years, I've been getting fleas just in one room of the house, and it's where, like, I guess the main...
Okay, hang on. Let me stop you a minute. Are they tiny, tiny little bugs?
They're tiny.
You have sewer bugs. I've had this problem before. There's probably a crack in your waistline somewhere in the building or in that location, because that's what happened to a client of ours,
right,
where they had those same, but just in the kitchen, nowhere else in the house.
This was this is like the bathroom. So why do they just
come out at
like 10 o'clock to 3 o'clock in the morning?
Say that again?
Like they just come out 10 to 3 in the morning.
I'm not that well versed on the behavior characteristics of sewer flies, but
what does she have to do?
Actually, I'm not that familiar with the behavior of humans. So I mean, sewer flies are pretty remote.
But you said there's a crack. So
there's a crack.
She has to get somebody to fix that crack.
We got to find the plumber. Has to get in there. There's probably some kind of either gap or crack in the waistline. Maybe underneath the floor. Might need breaking up the floor to do it, or getting underneath if there's a crawl space underneath it, or
what
have you.
Yeah, because what happens is that crack is permitting sewer gases to come out, which is an attractant to these fleas. And when the fleas smell the sewer gases, they start to lay eggs around that crack, and all of a sudden they come out and they stop propagating.
So she has two choices. She either breaks up the floor or whatever she has
to
get to that pipe, or she learns to live with the fleas.
Not necessarily.
Right.
A good plumber will come in and do what they call a gas test. He has a candle of some sort that has colored gas, and he puts it into the sewer line, and where the gas comes out upstairs and he sees the red or blue gas, he knows the crack is in that particular location.
Okay, Susan.
Thank
okay,
you
but
so
that's
much,
what
guys.
That's what I believe your problem is.
Okay, thanks a lot, guys.
It makes real sense. Otherwise, why would you just have fleas there if you don't have a dog sitting in that room all the time?
Exactly.
John from Farwood, is it? Fanwood? Farwood?
Fanwood,
New Jersey.
That? Yeah,
where is that located?
Jersey.
Near Westfield, Scotch Plains.
Jersey.
Gotcha. I know where you're at.
Well, I'm not there right now. I'm at work.
Well,
doesn't matter. What's your question?
I redid my bathroom about 6 months ago, and everything is fine, but I developed a leak from the tank into the toilet bowl, and I tried cleaning off the flapper. I put two new flapper valves in. That didn't do the trick. I put a new kind of valve, which is the, it looks like the top of a wine bottle.
Mm-hmm. In other words, that flush tank, what happened is it keeps running water even though you're not flushing the toilet bowl, right?
Yeah, just a teeny little bit, and I can't figure out where it's going.
Well, it happened in our office, the same thing, that the stopper valve seemed to, everything was brand new. I replaced the stopper valve, and that's one solution is that the stopper valve may need a little bit more weight to it when it presses down onto the seat of the opening or the aperture on the bottom of the tank. And what you can do is take some fishing leads, you know, the lead weights, and if you can tie it to that with some plastic string or something like that, until you have the right weight, that will stop the leak. The other thing is that what they call the refill tank overflow, if that's stuck down into the overflow too deep, what happens is you're causing a backward siphon and bring that up to the top of the overfill tube. And that will work better.
Okay.
That's interesting.
All right.
Thank you so much for calling us.
You're welcome. Thanks.
John from Westchester. Hi. You're on the Leonard Lopez Show.
Hi. I have a question about venting a kitchen range hood. I basically put an addition on my house. The range hood used to vent to the side. Now the addition's there, so I have to go straight up through the attic, through the roof. That's not a problem. My question is, back-to-back with the kitchen is a bathroom, which also is going to get an exhaust fan. Now, I've looked this up on various websites and forums, and I either hear, no, 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 you can't do it, or if you do it, you got to do this, this, and this. Can I combine these and make a single hole in my roof?
No.
The answer, no. I knew where this was going as soon as you said the word bathroom. No, you can't, because the characteristics of the air that we're exhausting are completely different. One is usually filled with grease, and the other one's usually filled with a lot more moisture.
Okay.
And you don't really want to combine these things, other than the fact that you could get a situation where one could actually empty into the other.
Right. I thought the backflow. flow dampers would kind of control that.
But you know what? We're talking about a thing that would probably work well for a few years.
Right.
But most of this mechanical stuff that has no service on it whatsoever stops working.
Yeah, that's why you have to have them separated and come through the roof separate. Because what will happen is, especially in the bathroom, if the bathroom odors enter into the kitchen area, that's not going to make anybody happy.
But what happens if you live in an apartment where you can't put a hole in it and you have a lot of grease developing over your stove?
Can you just
put in a vent?
They have charcoal units.
But hang on. He's asking something interesting.
For a change.
You have to be that self-deprecating. But the thing is that in order to have a legal kitchen, you have to have either a vent, an exterior vent, or a window within, I believe the code is 10 feet of the cooktop.
Only if it's a gas cooktop.
A gas cooktop, right. But if you don't have that, what you're saying is connecting a vent. Most cooktop vents usually just filter the air through and blow it back over the top of your head.
Oh, is that what they're doing?
Yes, the majority of them, that's what they do. They're basically just to get the moisture out of your eyes while you're trying to work, but it just...
But also suck up some of all of that smoke, because if you don't, in some kitchens, the smoke alarm goes off.
Only if it has a charcoal type filter, it will take out the smoke, and some of them will take out some of the moisture, but a big preponderance of them will actually take out the grease, and that filter has to be cleaned on a regular basis, depending upon how often you do major cooking.
Mm-hmm. But I would definitely go with the two separate vent shafts. And keep the systems completely separate.
And in fact, it's the best way to go, and you'll amortize it over a short period of time.
A number of people have called in with answers to the quiz and hung up, but Dorothy is the first person who has remained with us. She's from Morristown, New Jersey. Dorothy, what do you think the answer to the quiz, which is, what is the name given to the workers and builders of those wooden tanks that are on tops of buildings?
Are they Coopers?
Now, congratulations, but let me ask Leonard a question. Was she the first person with the right answer?
She's the first person with the right answer. Somebody else said luthier and hung up.
Okay.
But, yes, Dorothy is the first person with the right answer.
It's funny. We have this discussion. We comes up with the word, and I said to...
Seemed easy to me.
Actually, I went to my mother, and she says, what's the word? And I said, the guys who build the tanks. And she said, oh, you mean a Cooper? And I go, this one's going to get... And then the ones that are like that we think are so simple sometimes.
Yes.
And they're the ones... Anyway.
But it's also a Cooper, and it's sometimes called hoopers.
Because often tanks or barrels have hoops on them.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Dorothy, how did you know the answer?
Well, I lived in Brooklyn, and I always wondered about that when I was young, too. So someone told me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're going to put you on hold, and my producer will take your name and address, and we will send on to you what?
A copy of Save Money, Save Energy by Al Ubell and George Merlis.
Oh, and that is a pioneering book on conservation.
On conservation.
And saving money.
It cannot be. You can purchase them online, but they're all used books. This one is brand new, never been touched.
Out of print, but that doesn't mean it is anything other than wonderful. Okay?
I never miss your show.
Thank you so much, Dorothy. And we will take a little break and come back with more of your calls to the Gurus of How To. And we're back with the Gurus of How To. You used to be called Mr. Fix-It, weren't you, Al?
Yeah. The Guru of How To actually took place on Good Morning America.
They gave you that name.
They gave me that handle, the Guru of How To. But they used to also use America Go Forth and Fix Kid. They had a couple of different names, depending upon who wrote the PR piece.
I see. Well, we are taking your calls at 212-433-9692 for the Gurus of How To, Alvin and Lawrence Ubell. And let's go now to
pick one.
Sharon from Brooklyn. Hi, Sharon.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
What can we do for you?
I have a brownstone in Brooklyn, and it is the old windows with panes, mm-hmm. and the window is 105 inches tall.
Mm-hmm.
So the storm frame broke, so I have to replace it, but they don't replace those that tall anymore. So I have to choose between having a transom built and having a smaller window for the storm, or...
Okay, hang on. I know where you're going. I don't mean to cut you off, but... Sure. I don't think that's true. I don't think you've called enough people.
Oh, okay.
I think that they, remember, storm windows, is this a fixed storm or a triple track?
I think it's a...
I mean, it's movable windows.
It's a triple track because it has the screen, the two...
Screens. Yeah, you just got to keep calling around and you'll find someone because all these things are just, you know, made up as you order them. So whether they make it 110 inches high or they make it 90 inches high or they make it 6 inches high.
They make them custom to the window.
They custom to the window. They're not custom. They're not like Anderson Pell or Marvin's or Acorns or whatever windows you're talking about, which have set sizes.
So she may just have found a lazy person who says, I don't want to do that.
I think
only
that's
have one
exactly
size.
What she found.
Do you want to? I bet you Levinson makes it.
I bet you they might.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. They want me to replace it with either like a laminated glass or else triple pane to take care of the noise and the heat.
Well, that's a whole other issue about noise and heat loss and things like that. But if you want to keep the existing window, mm-hmm. just keep calling around at different storms and screen fabricators. I'm sure you'll get what you want.
Okay.
But do you think the laminated or the triple pane would be better if I can't find somebody?
But I mean, are you talking about replacing the existing window?
I'm considering it.
Now, let me ask you another question, because this concerns a lot of people. Are you on a landmark block?
No.
Okay, then you can... Now you can.
But let me ask you this. Let's say she gets the right frame. Can't she still put in a double or triple
thick glass? Well, it's not necessary to have... It's like, do you need suspenders and a belt?
Oh, I see.
Okay, I mean, if she has a triple track storm and screen, does she need double insulated glass or triple insulated glass? No. But... the bigger the airspace in thermal glass or double insulated glass controls the sound.
Mm-hmm.
The thickness does not control the heat loss, but it does control the sound. Now, if you want to go for a different window just because of aesthetics and so, I'm not going to argue with you on that, and then replace the window.
Okay, thank you for your call. And, you know, I have always been afraid of suspenders and a belt ever since Henry Fonda killed somebody in Once Upon a Time in the West for wearing both. He said, how can you trust a man who doesn't trust his own pants? You remember that?
Actually, no, but it sounds like a good...
Believe me.
What movie was that?
Once Upon a Time in the West.
Oh, I'll have to catch that.
We go to Hal from Brooklyn. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hal?
Yes, thank you.
Hal, you can talk to Al.
Okay.
All right, what's your question there?
Here. I returned from vacation late August, and a neighbor behind my back fence, this is a block of row houses,
mm-hmm.
had taken the opportunity to cut down a dead tree, a 50-foot maple, and she hired some fellows to come and do it while we were gone, and they let it fall in my garden.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the damage includes the chain-link fence that separates the back garden with the other back neighbor. And there was quite a bit of damage. Plants were destroyed. My homemade grape arbor was crushed.
Well,
hold on,
let me finish the story. This sounds like a great story because this is my kind of neighborly story that I love. Go on.
Well, I called her because we have her number, and she said, well, the guy that did it is right around front. So I went around the corner and I met him, and I talked to him, and he said, well, I'm not insured.
Well, let me tell you something.
Well, no, I want to finish.
Let me tell you what's going on here. Just to get an idea. First of all, it doesn't matter. The contractor is not insured, but the homeowner is. And this contractor is a servant of the owner. Therefore, the owner is responsible. This may what you can do is very easily, if you have homeowner's insurance, call your own homeowner's insurance policy. They will pay for the damage, and then they'll go after the homeowner of your neighbor. That's the way it works.
Now, I may have made a mistake because I've already talked to this guy. He said he'll fix everything.
Well, if he does fix it, but I think you should call your insurance company right away and let them know that there is damage and let them know that the guy wants to fix it and let the insurance company make the decision, not you.
And also, if he fixes it, you want to make sure that he fixes it in a way that's satisfactory to you.
Yeah, absolutely.
My idea of fix it may not be your idea of fix it.
Yes.
Well, exactly. And as I said, since I've already negotiated with this fellow and he's brought a couple of plants over, I may have already shot myself in the foot.
No, you didn't.
No, you didn't.
Just call your insurance company anyway.
Thank you so much for your call. Go right to that phone and call that insurance company now.
Does it look like leather?
And we now have Santos on the air. Hi, Santos from Park Slope.
Yes, indeed. I have also a small brownstone in Brooklyn, built in 1883. I have an English basement with a rather low ceiling, and I have the bumps on the head to prove it.
Yes.
And it's about 6 feet. So I was thinking of either raising the ceiling, which I think is impossible, or lowering the floor. So I'm wondering, you know, how much can I do that? What do I need to do? What's the protocol?
Let me ask you a question. How tall are you?
6'1".
Okay. Okay, that's the problem.
Yeah.
See, if you were 5'6" like myself, you would have no issues.
You have the same problem that Kareem Abdul-Jabbar had when he came to our studios. Everybody else thought that the ceilings were high enough.
But I have to tell you, the question I really have to ask you about the basement is, what is your plans for the basement if you had the extra, let's say, if you had the extra half a foot?
Well, first of all, it's an English basement, so it doesn't go all the way down. I don't know, just like, you know, recreational space, a space where I can keep my weights, and, you know, my wife would like to have a little stained glass studio that she does.
Okay. The problem I have with lowering the floor, obviously raising the ceiling is not possible.
Right.
Lowering the floor I have an issue with is because you have to realize that the technology of the construction of the foundation on this building is basically you have a rubble foundation or a brick foundation?
It's kind of like a cement floor.
No, but what's the walls?
Stone.
Stone. And so the footings for these walls are basically other rocks just set into the soil. And you don't want to disturb it, because basically what's holding your foundation together at this point is gravity. And any disturbance that you do to it can compromise it. But if you're going to do it, you're still bent on getting more room, you have to take a 45-degree line off of the bottom of the wall and go into. So you have to actually give up maybe about 2 feet completely around the entire basement, because you don't want to get that close to the footing.
But you use a magic word, bent, there. Mm-hmm. Right now he's bent every time he goes down.
That's
there.
That's true. Yeah, but remember, these basements were not designed to be any sort of livable space in the first place.
And so, isn't it also illegal to be down? Well, to sleep down.
No, he's not sleeping. He's working out, yeah. And his wife is like, he's going to be
Because
doing,
there are gases from the boilers.
The only thing that does come to mind is that you're increasing the livable space ratio of the building, which may really compromise the zoning regulations for that particular building.
But not if he keeps it rough.
If you keep it rough, you're okay. But if you're doing that kind of work, it is advisable to get an architect or an engineer to give you a drawing or a sketch on how you should do and what you should not do.
Mm-hmm.
And those are very, very important
things. But, I mean, the bottom line is that before you think about spending all this money, really calculate in your own mind, or even using a tape measure, how much room you're really going to get. You're saying it's a pretty small basement. It doesn't, you know, go under the whole building, and you're still going to lose 2 feet from either side. So if you're talking about a 20-foot-wide brownstone,
that's 17.
It's 17, okay. That means subtract 4 feet from that.
That's 13.
That's how wide your basement will be at where you can use it.
Oh, boy.
Okay, that's
But
my
if
point.
You do it, Santos, invite me over. We'll play some ping pong.
But what I've seen in some basements, just to give you an idea, that shelf. They put a concrete pier out of it, and they make it sort of a bench all the way around.
Yeah, they can do that.
So that way you're getting the full width, but you're having a bench on both sides of the building. Not that bad.
Thank you for calling us. Tricia from Keyport, New Jersey. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Keyport. Hi. Tricia.
I have a question. My question is, I live near the bay, and my basement gets flooded sometimes. I want to know what remedies I can take without having to contact those contractors to put the, I don't know, like waterproofing.
French drain or subslab drain. I would just buy a couple of high-performance sump pumps and just hook up some pipes and have, because probably what you're talking about is every now and then you just get a flood.
Exactly.
For the most part, you don't, but once in a while, you do, especially coming up on hurricane season now.
Right.
Okay, just get a couple of, put one at each end of the basement, have them hooked up to pipes, have them just drain outside the building, and normally they're off, and every now and then, if you even want to be more fancy, cut a little hole in the floor so it sits below the slab, and then put gravel underneath it.
Oh, okay.
In other words, if you dig a hole in the basement floor, say in the front and the back of the building, and you go down a couple of feet, say, and you fill it up with gravel, what happens is the water will seek its own level and will go into those well areas rather than go up onto the surface, and the pumps will pump them out. And this works in almost 75% of the cases, 50% of the cases, but sometimes it doesn't work, and then you have to do something more sophisticated.
But also a follow-up on that is also, you have a dehumidifier down there?
Yes.
And do you have it drain into a sink or a drain?
Sump pump.
Oh, it drains into the, you already have a sump pump there?
Yes.
How's that working?
It works fine, but someone recommended that I get an extra one.
Yeah, I would definitely two, one at each end of the basement.
Okay.
But definitely keep that dehumidifier going.
Thank you for calling us.
Thank you.
And take care of the baby.
Bye-bye.
David from Denville, New York. Hi.
Yes, sir. I have a...
First of all, where's Denville?
Denville, New Jersey.
Oh, New Jersey. Okay. Go on. I know where that is.
I said New York. I'm sorry. Where's Denville?
It's near Dover.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
In the northern part of New Jersey.
Okay. Yes. Close to New York. What's your question?
Closer than California.
Well, that's for sure.
I have a house that was built around 1910, and when we ripped out the bathroom floor in the back, there was a hatch in a concrete box underneath the whole back of the house,
where
an addition was. And I was wondering just what the heck this box is.
Well, it could have been. Actually, I'm thinking, well, obviously not the Underground Railroad, built too late.
No exit.
Yeah, that too. And not in Germany. Not in Germany, so it wasn't for Anne Frank, so it's not that one. I'm thinking that it actually might have been for maybe a cold cellar or an ice house.
Yes, a cold cellar where they used to store vegetables and stuff like that, or an ice.
The only way in and out of this thing is through this hatch that was underneath the...
Right, you'd probably climb down. There probably was a ladder there. What was the hatch made of, wood?
No, it's cast right into the concrete.
But was it was a concrete hatch?
Well, it was a hole. The box is all concrete.
Right, but the hatch was a piece of wood?
Not by the time we got to look at it.
Yeah, but it's not unusual that they, if it's a very, very old house, especially your whole house, it could have also have been a place where they had the artesian well. Right now, the water that you get is from the city, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Two glazed clay pipes going into this, one right through the top and one through the side at one end, but they don't go anywhere else.
Yeah, but you have your domestic water for the building comes from the city, right?
Yes, it does.
It does. But many years ago, when that building was built, there was no city water, and that could have been a place for an artesian well.
Now, this thing's like 20 feet long and 17 square. It's not 7 feet square. It's a big box.
Oh, it was a storage.
You know what I'd love for you to do, if you can, if you still have access, take some pictures and send it on to me at larry@ubell.com.
Ubell?
Yeah, UBELL.com. Okay. And Larry's the first name at.
Right.
And we thank you so much for your call.
It's
have very little
question.
Time. Kathy from Tewksbury, a lot of New Jersey callers. Kathy, I have to make it really quick.
Okay, I'll make it real short and sweet. Do you guys have any experience with American Home Shield Insurance Company for appliances?
No, I don't. I'm sorry. But this is basically insurance. Well, are you having a problem with them, or you're deciding whether to use it?
We just had a nightmare with it, and I was just curious to know if you knew if it was reputable. Yeah.
No idea.
I
guess that's something you look up in the internet.
Yes, I would definitely. I'm not a big fan of appliance insurance anyway, because I figure they have a certain amount of time and they wear out and die anyway.
Anyway, we have run out of time, believe it or not. But I want to thank both of the gurus of how to, Alvin and Lawrence Ubell, also known as Accurate Building Inspectors of Brooklyn, New York. And remember, you can reach Larry at larry@ubell.com. Thanks again.
And don't forget to look at the web at accuratebuilding.com.
And we will be back when?
Sometime next month.